A Safe Place by Remus Leaves 23. Remus leaped inside and slid his fingers under his wire-rimmed glasses, rubbing at his aching eyes. The application for an amendment to the Dark Creature Registration and Control Registration had taken much longer to draft than he anticipated, and it was now well after midnight. The Ministry of Magic halls were quiet and dimly lit, Remus's co-workers having left him to it long ago to retire to their homes and families. Remus sighed heavily once more, trying to ignore the annoying pang in his chest that reminded him that all that waited for him was an empty fridge and a cold bed. "The life of a workaholic werewolf is a lonely one," he muttered, wearily pushing himself to his feet. He didn't bother pulling on his long discarded robes. The temperature in the building was moderate, and frankly, redressing would take more energy than Remus had to give. The full moon had fallen only 2 days previously, and his body still throbbed from the bone-breaking transformation. In a perfect world, he would still be in bed recovering, but his position at the ministry was a precarious one, and Remus knew that many of his fellow department heads would be thrilled to have an excuse to be rid of him. Community thinking was gradually starting to turn away from the prejudice that had haunted Remus's upbringing. And having a high-profile, wealthy werewolf in charge of magical creatures had captured the imagination of a slowly evolving magical public. But Remus knew that while the ministry publicly supported his appointment, more than a few of his colleagues still saw him as nothing more than an animal promoted to a position he didn't deserve. A publicity stunt to get the ministry re-elected. Remus knew it was his family's well-known name and money that had initially brought him this position. But he poured his heart and soul into making the job his own, and now, 1 year later, no one could argue that he hadn't earned the respect he garnered from his department co-workers and from Minister Bagnall. He grabbed his dragonhide briefcase and tugged his robes off the back of his chair, slinging them over his shoulders before he flicked his wand, extinguishing the lamps in the room. Home may be cold and lonely, but there was a comfortable bed there, and all Remus wanted to do right now was sleep. Yawning, he made his way down the hall towards the elevator, his footsteps echoing in the empty corridor. He pressed the button for the atrium so he could flew home, then frowned when he heard the sound of fast footfalls behind him. He turned in surprise. He thought he had been alone on the floor, but before he could see what was there, he felt the unmistakable crackle of magic, then an explosive pain in his head. The last thing he heard before everything went dark was the ping of the elevator arriving. Sirius Black cursed as the elevator slowed on the third floor in response to a pushed button. He was surprised that anyone else was left in the darkened ministry, then recalled that the cleaners would still be working for another hour or so. He should know their schedule. He often left when they did, preferring the silence of the deserted Aura office by night to complete his paperwork. "It's not like there's anything waiting for me at home," he told his worried partner and best friend, James Potter, when the other man queried his long hours. James didn't get it. He had a wife who had lost none of her fire in the 5 years they'd been married, and a son who was the apple of his eye. He didn't understand or approve of Sirius's lifestyle. Late nights at the office on work days, even later nights at the clubs on weekends. To be honest, Sirius wasn't sure he liked the way he lived at the moment either. But slowing down gave him time to think, and thinking about what was missing from his life just led to confusion and doubts that twisted him up inside. So he worked, and he drank, and he shagged when the opportunity presented itself, and tried not to notice the gaping holes that no amount of work and booze and women could fill. The one bright spot in Sirius's life was his job as an aura, and, low paid as it was, he thrived on the adrenaline that pumped through his body when he and James were called out on a job. Today, though, had been a tiring day, filled with pencil pushing and no action, and Sirius was looking forward to getting home to a warming shot of fire whiskey and the comfortable embrace of his bed. "If this damn elevator would just move," he mumbled irritably, just as the door slid open to reveal a bloody figure slumped on the floor. Remus blinked as a bright light shining in his eyes blinded him. "Fuck's sakes," he muttered, raising a hand to block the beam. "Mr. Lupin," said an impatient female voice he recognized immediately as Minister Bagnold's. "Please refrain from moving and allow Mr. Black to finish examining you." Remus frowned when the light disappeared and he was staring up at a stern-faced woman wearing what was obviously hastily thrown on robes. "What?" he said groggily. Then, realizing he was laying down, he tried to sit up. The world tilted on its axis as a firm hand on his chest tried to push him back into a prone position. "Oh, shit," he mumbled as his stomach lurched. "I'm going to..." A basin quickly appeared beside him, just in time to receive the remnants of the chicken sandwich he had wolfed down several hours ago. Remus raised a shaking hand to his forehead when the retching stopped, surprised when it came away damp with pink-tinged sweat. "What the hell happened to me?" he asked, voice rough from vomiting. "That's what we'd like to know," said a man's voice, and Remus carefully raised his head to stare into concerned grey eyes. "Who?" he choked, trying once again to sit up, and this time the dark-haired man helped. "Take it easy," he said with a frown. "You must have one hell of a headache. We should take him to St. Mungo's, Minister." Remus blinked at him, recognizing his face now as one of the Ministry's aurors, but unsure of his name. "I'm fine," he began, but Millicent Bagnold stepped in. "Mr. Black found you passed out and bleeding in the corridor here, Mr. Lupin," she said in her no-nonsense way. "Do you recall what happened?" Remus bit his lip. He'd been working late again and was about to leave. "Footsteps," he murmured, rubbing at his aching forehead as he thought. "I heard footsteps, but I didn't see who it was before." He gestured to his head, then looked at the man called Black. "You found me. Did you see?" "There was no one near you," Black told him. "I admit I was more concerned about stopping your brain from bleeding out all over the floor than I was about searching each room, although that's being done now." Both he and Remus looked up as a flustered man dressed in scarlet aura robes appeared as if on cue. "I think you'd better come and see this, Minister," the scruffy-haired man said to Millicent, who frowned and turned on her heels, following him down the hall. Remus struggled to get to his feet, the dark-haired man offering a token protest, then assisting him when Remus determinedly pushed himself up. Once on his feet, the room began to spin and he felt strong arms encircling him. "You really should be at the hospital," Black murmured close to his ear, and Remus suppressed a shiver, sparking off a reaction in all his nerve endings. "Fuck, I'm concussed and I still managed to get a hard on. I really need to get laid." As if the other man heard Remus's desires, the arms were withdrawn. "Can you walk by yourself?" Black said a little sharply. Remus was surprised by the tone. He glanced at Black, who immediately looked away, refusing to meet Remus's eyes. "Yes, I can," Remus snapped, irritated by the man's hot and cold attitude, before he stumbled over his own feet. He heard the aura swear and fingers closed around his bicep. "Merlin," Black muttered, and Remus frowned. "I don't need help," he insisted. But the man left his steadying hand on Remus's arm anyway, and after a few wobbly steps revealed just how unstable he was, Remus was grateful for the assistance. He gasped when he saw the mess inside his office, then his breathing faltered as he saw the scrawled message on the wall. "I won't fail next time."